This is Boris Villon with German fuel price data set and examples in R. Please.
Thank you all for attending. I want to start the talk with a tiny bit of background about myself and about this project. So who am I? That may be a question that you're asking yourself. I'm a consultant freelance now, and I've been around in the data science space for the last 15 years, most of the time, actually all of the time, also with R. I'm freelance again since the beginning of this year, and I found myself disconnected from all the data sources I had access to before, and I said, okay, I need to have some way to show to clients and other potential customers how we actually work in R. So I was looking around for open data sets, and I stumbled across this fuel data set in Germany, and this then evolved into my thinking that it might be a good idea to actually structure this into a workshop. So don't be worried. This is not going to be a fast course or anything, but it's going to be along the lines of what I have structured for a workshop that I'm going to have this presentation. A little bit more of background maybe about what we will be talking about. There's this country you may have heard about, Germany, with 82 million inhabitants and 55 million private cars. So you see already from these numbers they like their cars a lot. And maybe if this was a workshop, the first exercise you could do would be to put these numbers into R and come up with a calculation I did for you there, which is roughly 1,000 euro per inhabitant are spent on fuel each year, which is roughly, again, 5% of total of available income. So on the right side, you see the main players in the main oil companies in Germany. You have Aral, which is basically German BP. You have Shell, you have Esso, and you have Total, which are considered as the oligopoly players in this market. And then you have a large number of smaller independent groups and independent groups that are also very well known in many parts. So third piece of background is where does this data set actually come from? So probably like in any other country, there is a large discussion about how oil prices come, how fuel prices come about, how they relate to oil prices, whether the pricing is actually fair, what are the companies doing with us. So this is again and again reflected in the press, and the German Fair Trade Office in 2011 started a study where they came up with this proposal that is now implemented, that they built a database where all the fuel stations have to report all the price changes. So they are doing some reporting on this themselves. You can look it up in the links I'm giving here. And there is one service, tankerkönig.de. So for those of you who don't speak German, this is very typical of these kind of apps, of these price finder apps. You have Clever Tank and you have Tankerkönig. So this is actually the refueling king. I might say about myself that my emotional involvement with this is maybe not quite as large, which I think is always a good prerequisite for doing this kind of analysis. I don't even own a car. Let's have a look at this data set very briefly. You have the original prices data, which basically, oops, sorry, this doesn't work like this. You have a station ID, you have a timestamp, and then you have the three prices for the three types of fuel that are currently mostly sold in Germany, which is E10, E5, and diesel. And below that, you have the station's master, which is a station ID, and then address, name of the station, longitude, latitude, etc., etc. This data set is already being investigated quite a lot. So you have quite a large number of more economically minded persons who are publishing on this and similar data sets, and I want to emphasize that my purpose here is not to add on that to that list, unless maybe at a later stage I find something interesting that they haven't yet found. My purpose is really more to have a description for data scientists on a real-life data set, how to do an analysis step by step. The purpose here being describing what actually drives prices in the German fuel market and what these factors are and how much they contribute. And let's look a little bit at external data that we still have. So you see here on the left, you see the price data and the station data. Then on the top in gray, you see some external data, economical data, which is from the German Statistical Office. You see also traffic counter data, which is available in Germany, which for the time being I have tested, but I'm not yet able to report any results on. So what does this workshop look like? So basically, I have done all this, and it is openly available. The only thing I haven't done yet, I have not yet put it somewhere where everybody can access it, but I hope it will be useful for many people. What does it do? Step A, it will collect the regional data tables from the German Statistical Office. That's basically a per workflow. Then there is some work, step B, preparation of the station data, which is sort of you do regular expression matching to extract the brand names and stuff like that. Then there is geo matching, part C, which is finding whether a station is close to a highway, whether it's on a highway, finding how far stations are away from each other to be able to calculate competitor prices, things like that. Then there is preparation of price data. So I should say, I didn't say it before, we have data around, we have price ticks around 5 gigabytes of data. So this is not a big data set, but it's a reasonably sized data set, and chunking and stuff like this is an essential technique that will come across here. Then E is creation of different models, F is analysis, and G is presentation. And I will go through some of these. Can I just have a time? 6.5, okay. So very briefly, so on the economic data, what the German Statistical Office does is it gives you all their tables one by one by one by one by one. So I suspect they have it in a general table somewhere, but as a user, you have to re-engineer this table yourself. And I'm not going to go through the per workflow that I'm sketching here, but I learned during this project that PER can be very useful. Before, what you did was you wrote a function, and basically you said, I load my file, I load the headers, I restructure the header somewhere, I create names, blah, 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 blah. Then you would have the function, and it would work on that one file. You would try to iterate it, and you would find that it will break on some other file. The fundamental change that we have with PER nowadays is that you do it in parallel. I look at all my files, I look at all the headers, I look at all the names of the headers, et cetera, et cetera. So it allows me to capture these kind of mistakes sooner. I think that's the main advantage I want to point out here. Then some of the geographical data, I will make it short. I found that it is easiest and best to match geographical data, so basically the NUTS 3 regions, which is the reporting unit of the German Statistical Office, via the longitudes and latitudes to the polygon shapes of these areas. This works much, much better than, for example, zip code-based variants. Then we have this calculation of distance matrix. Again, there is the geosphere package and the whole geospatial infrastructure of R, which comes to help there quite a bit, and which you see it's really only a few lines to make this work in R, so this is very convenient. Then similarly, only a few lines to identify the petrol stations that are on or close to highways. So this too is something that where R performs pretty well. Now, a little bit more complex is the issue about the price ticks. So what you have on the left is basically the different price ticks as they are reported by the petrol stations, and then you'd have to do some kind of imputation procedures. Now, this is a point where I prefer to do the imputation myself. There are imputation packages, but you have this kind of trade-off to consider whether a given package functionality is so important that you want to manage the dependencies and everything that comes around with it. So at that stage, I decided to implement this by my own on my own. So let's have a look at data very briefly. You see the time series that come out of this reconstruction of the data. So you see the E10 and the E5 prices above. They have a price difference of just 2 cents or something. I am therefore then sticking to the E10 prices for the further analysis. You have the Brent oil prices below, and that's the pattern over the year. And then there seems to be a daily pattern during the week, as I show on the right. Then the intraday pattern is something which I think is much more interesting, though I'm not going to go into much detail. But what you see, what petrol stations in Germany do, is they keep a high price at night, and then at 5:30, 6, they start going down during the day. Then at 10, starting for noon, they raise prices again, keep prices up around noon, and then go down to the daily minimum. This is a pattern that has become pretty ubiquitous. So this is frozen in nowadays. And I think there is a lot of research going on why this is so. I have a theory about that. But I think as such, it is also something one might expect. Now, for a little modeling that we have done, you see here a specification of a simple linear model, so the price as a function of the Brent oil price, the weekday, then splines to capture the regional distribution, then indicators for closeness to highways, brands, and then some of the economical indicators, so numbers of hotels to see whether it's a tourist area, station density, population density, and competitor density. And if you put that into your laptop, I did that for 2016, you get this picture, which shows that if you look at the impact of the original price, so the Brent price is very high, you see difference between difference between autobahn and close. So basically, a highway makes 10 cents. Being close to a highway doesn't make any difference at all. For the brands, I let you check out your favorite brand and see how you're doing. And then for the weekdays, we confirm the pattern that we've already seen, that Sundays has a slight higher price with about 0.5 cent. The economic indicators seem to play well. So station density and population density, which would be indicators of competitive intensity, seem to lower prices, so this looks good. Close competitors too, so if you have many close competitors, you lower price a little bit, it's not a very strong effect. And hotels, you could argue that in a tourist region, people look less at prices, etc. So I would not overreact on this coefficient, but I think it's still worth noting it. So as I said, this is a very simple model. I did it in 1 minute on my laptop. The same model with competitor prices brings in a whole lot of complications, which comes from the fact that if you introduce the competitor price,